You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, powered by Interstate Batteries. From your truck to your trail camera, Interstate Batteries has you covered. Visit your local Interstate Battery store today or online at interstatebatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Thanks for listening to the Backcountry Rookies Podcast. Brought to you by Elk 101's University of Elk Hunting. The University of Elk Hunting is your one-stop shop for elk hunting education. The course is built with 17 modules, broke down into 38 chapters that cover everything from planning an elk hunt to packing an elk out of the woods, and every tip, tactic, strategy, and situation in between. You owe it to yourself to invest in the most lethal weapon in the elk woods, and that is you, the hunter. Visit elk101.com and save 20% off the price of the course by using the code ROOKIES and start preparing for your elk hunt. Welcome to the Phase 2 show for what I'm calling the New Year, New Rookie Plan, or New Year, New Rookie Fitness Nutrition Plan. So I had Matt Hartsky on two shows ago, and Matt developed a fitness plan for me to follow for the next 8 months or so, and that's going really, really well so far. Feeling a lot stronger, just feeling a lot better all around. I've been shooting my bow quite a bit more, and I notice it's getting easier to draw. Just kind of everything just seems better, sleeping better, feeling good. And today is the phase two portion of that, which is nutrition. So any good fitness plan needs a solid nutrition plan behind it. And today I talk with Kyle Camp about a solid nutrition plan and how he develops nutrition plans for individuals whenever he's building a plan for a person, depending on whether it be for ultra marathons or backcountry hunters or whatever it is. Kyle can develop that plan to best fit the person based on their size and their needs and their wants. Today we go through all of that with Kyle. But first, before we get going into the show with Kyle, I want to first say congratulations to Pat Casey and Dan Thomas. And they both were the giveaway winners from the hunting story giveaway that we did last year during the hunting season, where people sent in their hunting stories and we chose the best one and then gave a prize package. So congratulations to Pat and Dan. Those packages are in the mail right now, and they should be receiving them very, very soon if they haven't already. Thanks again, guys, for sending in those stories. And thanks to everybody who sent in a story. It wasn't just those two. I had a ton of stories that came in, and they were just the ones that got narrowed down, and they were the lucky winners. So thanks to them. Thanks for everybody that submitted. And thanks again, a big thank you to the sponsors that provided the packages and the prizes to the winners. And that was Vortex Optics, Go Hunt, Onyx Hunt Maps, Mountain Hunter Box, and Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. Thank you to all of those companies who donated prizes to the giveaway. I look forward to doing another one next year. Already working on the prize package, trying to get everything set up for that. I'm not going to announce any of that just yet, but it's going to be a really, really good prize package. We're going to do archery and rifle. I've already taken up a lot of your time before this show gets started. So one thing that I wanted to add is stay tuned at the end, and I have a bunch of information about our 2019 monthly giveaways that we've got going on this year. So not only are we going to have the hunting story giveaway at the end of the year, but we're also doing monthly giveaways. And I talk at the end of this show, I talk about what kind of prizes we've got put together for that. With that, I think we're ready to jump into the show. I just, had a lot of stuff to catch up on and a lot of announcements to make. So let's jump into the show. We got Kyle Camp, and this is a good one. If you're looking for that nutrition plan, make sure you give Kyle a call. He's offering 15% off to anybody that calls and wants to do a nutrition plan. Just mention that you heard about it on Backcountry Rookies. He doesn't really have a discount code on his website, so you got to call him, and that way it's a little bit more personal. But when you do talk to him, make sure you mention Backcountry Rookies, and he'll save you 15% on his package. All right, let's jump into it. Kyle Camp.
As I stated before, today I've got Kyle Camp from Valley to Peak Nutrition, and this is phase two of the fitness and nutrition plan that I'm starting this year. Thanks for coming on, Kyle, and if you want to, I'll let you just introduce yourself a little bit. And one thing that I do want you to talk about during your introduction is your credentials, because that was something that was very important to me when I started this plan, was that I had on the right people to give me the right information and help me with the right plan. And I chose you based on your certification. So I want to make sure you touch on that, if you would.
Yeah, I appreciate that. My name is Kyle Camp. I'm a dietitian. I live out here in Boise, Idaho. I work for a hospital here in Boise, doing an outpatient clinic as well as I work in the inpatient on a variety of floors, ranging from the ICU to general surgery. And my role in both places varies quite a bit, anywhere from helping folks on life support get some sort of nutrition to educating people who've been diagnosed with a new medical condition on how to manage that with nutrition to help alleviate some of their symptoms. Aside from that, I also run a company called Valley to Peak Nutrition, who the main focus there is to help people that do any sort of activity in the backcountry do it better. So that ranges from, of course, backcountry hunters to people running ultras to skiers to a variety of different people. And that ranges from either preparing for an event like a 5-day elk hunt, what do I eat when I'm out there so I don't run out of gas halfway through it, to, hey, it's January and I'd like to be in better shape next September when I go, how do I lose 10 or 15 pounds, or how do I gain a little bit of muscle so I feel a little more prepared than I did this past year?
Got it. I'm very familiar with that question. I'm pretty sure that was that was the one that I posed to you when I got in touch with you. I can only imagine that things vary greatly from a nutrition plan for somebody running an ultra versus somebody that's preparing for a 5-day elk hunt. Is that right?
Well, you'd be surprised how similar they are, to be honest. I mean, the interesting thing about, even though nutrition is individualized based on a person's needs, how much they weigh, the length of the activity, how much stamina the activity is going to contain, our bodies are, for the most part, run on similar things. So, you know, whereas a person that's doing an ultra is going to need a significant amount of carbohydrate to perform well for a long period of time, backcountry hunters no different. I mean, going up and down different hills, mountains, etc., requires a decent amount of carbohydrate intake, as would anybody that's doing a pursuit like that in the mountains. So it varies a little bit in that, you know, a 5-day elk hunt is going to be, you're planning 5 days, and each one of those days builds on itself, whereas an ultra is usually a single event. But it doesn't deviate as much as you might think, which when I first got into this was pretty eye-opening to me as well.
Okay, sorry for that interruption, Kyle. I didn't give you the opportunity to talk about your education and credentials and stuff. So if you want to jump back and hit that real quick, that'd be perfect.
Yeah, so I did my undergraduate work in Southern Indiana, Evansville, Indiana, and did all of that and completed it. And to be a dietitian, you have to get credentialed. You have to do, you know, 1,200 hours plus of a kind of a residency program or an internship, and it's computer matched. So they kind of they ship you and tell you where you're going to go, as opposed to you just getting selection of anywhere. So after I completed all my undergraduate work, they said, you're going to Boise, Idaho. I thought, oh my gosh, that sounds awful. I don't know what's there, but I've got no desire to find out. So I made the move 1,200 something miles out here and fell in love with it. And that was more than 5 years ago. I've been here ever since. So I completed all of my rotations, which range from hours you have to accumulate in a hospital, long-term care facilities, food management rotations, managing a kitchen, all sorts of different things. And after you complete that, you sit for an exam if you pass the exam, then you have, you become a dietitian, but you have to keep continuing education. There's a governing body that kind of watches over us, everything from ethics to making sure that our continued education's from the right places. And so we're not just acquiring these random bits of information from Google and MSN. There are actual scientific studies that we're required to watch, and it's 75 some odd hours over a certain number of years. And as long as you complete that, you continue to maintain your credential and able to do the things that I get to do now and enjoy doing so much.
That's great. That's cool. And you were very fortunate to end up where you're at. I've never been to Idaho, but I can only imagine, and I intend to go there a couple times this year. So
yeah, sitting on this side of being told that I'm going there, I couldn't have handpicked somewhere better. I mean, I love it here. I've made great friends here, met my wife here. So Idaho has treated me very, very well.
Yeah, good. So what was it in growing up in Indiana that led you to nutrition? Why did you become interested in it, and what got you involved in it?
That's a good question. So grew up in Indiana and grew up in a divorced home, which isn't anything to necessarily feel sorry for me about. It was just, you know, my mom was a very busy mom. She's the one that had custody of me. So my dad wasn't home. She didn't have an alternative for cooking dinner, and led us to eat out quite often and, you know, fast food nearly every night. I had no knowledge of nutrition, of course, and hit the fast forward button on that. And I was 21. I was 21 years old, laying in bed. I'm a short guy. I'm 5'6" and I weighed 270 pounds and, thought, you know, so I was laying in bed and had these significant chest pains one Christmas morning, and no knowledge of anything medical field related at that point. But I thought, man, this can't be good. I've got to figure out something. And so gradually I just began to do little changes that I knew were good for me, you know, grabbing different snacks. And instead of grabbing, a burrito just as a 3 p.m. chewing session, I would eat an apple or something like that, but I would wait to see when I was hungry. And so that naturally produced a little bit of weight loss. And then I wanted to know, okay, well, you know, I know these things are better for me, but what actually happens inside of me that makes them better? What's the body, you know, recognizing that says, well, hey, this is a lot better for us. Let's go ahead and shed some weight off of this guy. And so that led me to enroll in school, and just genuine curiosity for myself and, you know, and going through my own weight loss process during that. And then at the end of it, kind of once I'd lost the weight, wanting to maintain it and to learn how to do that. But then, you know, teasing it out further than that was wanting to be able to help people do the same. And so I met with an academic advisor. She told me that I didn't have a good chemistry background and that I shouldn't pursue it. I said I should try it once. I tried it once and it was brutal, but here I am on the other side of it and so grateful that I did. But my own personal weight loss story was definitely pivotal in what led me into being interested in nutrition.
I think it's such an interesting topic and it goes so deep that I don't know. It's just a lot of it's hard to understand when you start talking about macro and micro nutrients. You know, there's a lot of stuff, but and what do I know? I'm definitely not educated in it, but I know a hamburger is not as good for you as an apple is, but whatever. Sometimes I just like that hamburger, I guess. So, but anyway, I'm sorry. So as far as hunting goes, when did you kind of meld those two together between nutrition and hunting or backpacking or just that extreme sport, whether it be ultramarathon? When did you see the need to kind of merge those two together and start working with that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I, you know, like I said, grew up in Indiana and didn't have any exposure to the outdoors. And quite honestly, I was just kind of a lazy, apathetic kid. I'd play sports, but man, the idea of hiking just sounded terrible to me. And so when I moved out here, you know, I was fortunate to meet a great group of friends and got introduced to the backpacking community. And so I just loved going places knowing that not anyone could just walk up here, you know, and they were a challenge. And so fell in love with backpacking and going to, you know, high mountain lakes and spending the night up there and things like that. And then I met my wife and her family We went over to, she's from Eastern Oregon, so I went over there to meet them for the first time. It was the first time that I'd ever had elk. My mother-in-law now had made elk stroganoff. And talking to my father-in-law, whose primary method of getting any meat is hunting every year, you know, I kind of like had this epiphany of, so you mean that I can combine backpacking? Of course, I'm interested in like lean sources of protein, being a dietitian, just trying to be a healthy guy, and fill my entire freezer with a $33 tag. So sign me up. Where do I sign up at? And so that naturally led to, you know, just progressive steps. And so I had no intention of necessarily turning it into hunting, but I thought, well, I'll see what, you know, the hunting education class is about. So I took it. I thought, well, I'll put in for one of those tags and see if I draw it. And I drew it. And so I thought, well, now I've got to learn how to shoot. And so I learned how to, you know, shoot a rifle. And then that kind of teased that out into bow hunting. And man, I just had so many gracious and very, very patient friends teach me. And it's been really cool to be a part of that community, but to see how inviting everyone is. So introduction to hunting was kind of a backdoor, late to the game approach, but man, it's been incredibly rewarding. I've really enjoyed it.
Isn't that fascinating how the hunting community, something where people keep their hunting areas so private, but yet they're also, like you said, they're so welcoming and everybody is willing to educate and help and, you know, tell you stories, help you shoot, whatever it is. Everybody is just helpful in this community, I think.
Yeah, and I've got, I mean, my brain functions in a way such that, you know, I don't want to just know. You know, so if I were to say, you know, how do you shoot a bow? Well, you attach the release, you pull the string, and you fire, you know, take some lessons. I want to know mechanics behind it. So I've got, as you can imagine, just annoying amounts of questions for my friends. And they've been so, so patient in answering them and helping me, you know, set stuff up. And even, you know, you talked about keeping spot secrets. I think guys are even open to sharing some of that and inviting you along whenever they see that you're genuinely interested. You're not just wanting to go fill a tag and post it to Instagram. You're just out there to enjoy it like they are. And it's a really cool community to be involved in.
I wanted to move a little bit into, I would love to talk to you about all your being a newcomer and how you developed into that hunting, but I think that's a whole nother podcast. We may have to do that again another day. Cause that's kind of the whole name of the Backcountry Rookies game is bringing in those new guys. So to the listeners, you may hear Kyle come back on here one of these days and talk about his introduction to hunting. But anyway, for now we'll talk about Kyle's introduction to nutrition instead. So anyway, as far as what you do as far as planning a nutritional plan, and we don't have to go into super specifics here. And if you want to, you're more than welcome to use my plan that you created for me. But I'm just kind of curious what is involved when you are developing a plan. What do you look at and what are some of the things that are important to look at in a person to develop that plan?
I think that's it's a good question, and honestly, probably one of the most frequent questions that I get outside of, you know, individual, what are your thoughts on X, Y, and Z diet? So my first goal is to come up with a plan that is doable for whoever is wanting it. Right? If your favorite food on the face of the planet is Cheez-Its, it's unrealistic for me to ask of you and unrealistic of you to expect you're never going to eat another Cheez-It again, right? And I use that as an example because most people would say, oh, that's a packaged food and that's a terrible food. And so it has to be realistic and achievable for whoever is wanting it. That's the first thing. The second thing is it's completely tailored to you, meaning the numbers would be different for someone else. So, you know, I think we'll jump into this later, but there's macronutrients, and all calories come from the three major macronutrients. Well, your macros and calories are going to be significantly different than my macros and calories. So for me to just start shoveling the same plan out to every single person, I would gain weight trying to eat your plan. And likewise, you would lose a significant amount of weight to the point where you felt like you were hungry all the time if you were trying to follow my plan. So they're very individualized, and I try to make them seem very doable for the person. Now, the other part of it too is, you know, sometimes you start a plan and you have to tweak it as you go along. And from my experience, this is what people appreciate the most about having someone like a dietitian, is when they get, well, first of all, is that they can trust the advice, because like I said earlier, we get everything from evidence-based articles. It's not just random stuff online. But whenever they hit a plateau, whenever they hit a barrier, whenever they get stuck, whenever the needle's not moving anymore, I still feel awful when I'm trying to run an ultra, what's going on? They've got someone that they can come and bring those things to, and they can adjust the program as they continue, as they start to make progress, or if there is no progress made, they're not just out there on a limb trying to figure it out on their own. That usually results, from my experience, in people throwing their hands in the air and feeling like, oh, another diet, I failed, I can't do it again, I'm prone to be this way the rest of my life, I give up. And it's not necessarily true. So I would say, I mean, that's a very long way to say that it's completely custom tailored to you, and that you have the advantage of having someone alongside you to make tweaks and adjustments as you go along, if you ever get stuck or if you have questions or those type of things.
Right. And that, so when we get into like, what do you offer as far as if you're doing a custom plan, I think we're going to touch on that a little bit later, but that's one thing that I've noticed. I can reach out to you anytime and you're always going to respond and say, well, try this or don't try that, or do this, don't do that. And I think that's pretty awesome to have that support there with your
players. Yeah, and nutrition is incredibly confusing. You get out there and you start reading stuff, and you know, you've got everything from people selling diets about eating a cookie a day to people, you know, selling diets to all sorts of stuff. And you know, it's six Google pages in and 12 hours later that you're like, you just feel overwhelmed and don't even know where to start. I mean, if anything, you're more confused than whenever you first started. And so I feel like a part of my job is dispelling a lot of that myth and helping people genuinely see that, you know, it's not this big mystical picture that a lot of these, you know, online people have tried to sell you on. It is as basic as it seems, but sometimes you need, I mean, it's nuancey for sure, and there is a science behind it, but you don't need to know the science to see results. It can be a very basic approach, and you still see a tremendous amount of success, and it's nice to have someone alongside you to run that filter through, to be that filter of, hey, I read this, should I go this route? Well, does that route really work for you? No, it sounds terrible. Then you don't need it to succeed. It's nice to have that piece along with you.
Sure, because somebody may find that magical diet on the internet and try it, and they can't figure out why it isn't working. And it's because they're totally backwards from where they should be. You know, I did a ton of research trying to find a diet that I could eat hamburgers and eat Dairy Queen Blizzards every day. And I'll be darned if I couldn't find that one anywhere. So
wasn't out there, huh?
No, I just couldn't find it. But the cookie one sounds pretty good, too. That sounds all right. So, no, I tell you, I'm pretty much happy with the plan that you've got me on right now. Since we started, what's today? The 4th? I started it about 4 or 5 days ago. And my wife commented this morning when we got up, and I was already up, and she just said it seemed like I had more energy in the morning already. And I mean, a lot of that's probably working out too, but I think a lot of it is that diet. My body's being fed properly and it's working good right now.
And I think your plan is a perfect example, and I'm definitely not, you know, trying to keep it secretive or exclusive. All we did for you, and of course you can attest to this, was you sent me kind of let's just be silly and call it a food record, super technical and call it a food record, of basically what you eat on a 3 to 4 day period. Most people don't deviate too far outside of, you know, a handful of foods, and their intake looks pretty close to the same for over a week's long period. So you sent me that. I assessed it. I came up with your personal needs. And then my job was to, and what I feel like my job is to do, is to incorporate as much of that from your normal day-to-day intake, even though you weren't seeing progress, into this new plan. So your plan includes stuff like pizza and stuff that you were eating prior to ever seeing me. They're just in different portions. And then at the end of the day, they meet the numbers that steer you more towards the goals that you're wanting. So it wasn't like we created this plan for you of, you know, sauteed kale leaves with boiled chicken and chopped celery leaves. And then, you know, no eating between 4 a.m. and noon, but you can have, you know, a breath mint at 1 p.m. and then at 2 p.m., nothing until midnight again. You know, it's nothing complex like that. It's everyday normal stuff you were doing before in different portions.
If you would have sent me that, we wouldn't have ever talked again. I'll be honest.
Who would talk to me, man? Like, I wouldn't blame anyone for not wanting to follow that. That sounds awful.
Right.
And honestly, that's what drives people. That's what you have to find something that a person can be compliant with. If you look at a plan, anyone can do something for 3 months. But if you ask yourself, can I do this for 3 years? And your answer is no, you need to look for another plan.
Well, that's a good point to take away. But so I think, that's a good point. I was going to say, I think some people might trick themselves and say, absolutely, I can do that for 3 years, when it really is kind of unattainable. So a lot of it is, you got to really be honest with yourself when you do that. And
yeah,
I think that's why what I really liked about your plan when you sent it to me, and then we talked about it on the phone. And, you know, when you send that to me and I do see on there that I can have a couple slices of pizza if I want to, that's kind of refreshing. And it's kind of relaxing maybe to see that and think, okay, good God, I'm not eating sauteed kale leaves every day. I can actually eat a piece of pizza if I want.
Right. And you know, you kind of joked earlier, well, I couldn't find a plan out there, let me have Dairy Queen and burgers in there. And the reality is that you can fit that in a plan. Now, you can't fit two cheeseburgers and the biggest McFlurry that they sell spaced over, every day for a period of a week and expect any sort of change. But you can fit it in different portion sizes, spaced periodically over a month or something like that. You start to, you know, there's really nothing you can't have on a good nutrition plan. It's just a matter of portion size, frequency, activity. I mean, it's very multifaceted.
Now, how much of the building the plan is based on, because I'm a big dude, right? I'm 6'3", some days 6'4", depending, 225, 230 pounds. So I'm going to be able to eat more, and the plan is going to be different. But how much consideration do you put into that, like the size of the person? And then you also used the fitness plan that Matt at iHunt Fitted created for me too, to support the nutrition plan, right?
Yeah. So both of those are, I mean, that without that, I couldn't make a plan that's close to what you would need to meet your goals. I have to know what you want to be and is that realistic? I think that's part of the conversation, you know, and what you currently are height, weight wise, because everything's individualized. And as you start to make progress and you lose weight, then those numbers, those calories, protein, carbohydrates, all of that, they change because now your body is functioning at a lower calorie level. So that's what I meant earlier with the constant tweaking. So yes, I need to, you know, individual weight, individual height, individual age, individual goals, and individual activity. What are you planning to do to meet your goal? Nothing? That's okay. We can still develop a plan for you, but if I throw an extra 300 calories in there, assuming you're wanting to gain some muscle mass, you're just going to gain fat mass because you're not doing anything. So that's all a part of it. And what I don't want is for people to feel like, man, this all sounds so complex. It's not as complex as it sounds at all. It's just a matter of where you currently are, where you want to be, the activity that you're doing, and balancing all of those in a reasonable way.
Yeah. And that's, I think it, I don't think it's sounding too complex. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it is to some people, but it's not to me, and that's because you and I, probably you and I have talked so many times. But when I received, when I got the plan, Kyle emailed me the plan. I sat down, I started looking it over. My wife and I were both looking at it, and it was, we looked at it and we're like, well, holy cow, that's really, that's going to be, it's easy to understand, and it's going to be very, very easy to follow. So with that, I think we'll move on a little bit because we've been hammering on that topic for a while. But I just wanted to point that out, that Kyle's got the big brain for the nutrition, right? It's his job to do all that complex stuff. It's our job to, and he's supposed to translate it so that we can understand it. Is that a good way to put it?
No, I think that's a great way to put it. And I was talking with my wife about this the other day, and you know, I love knowing the why behind it all. I really do. Some people don't. And the beautiful part of it is you don't have to know the why to still be successful. I do feel like a part of my job though too. And you know, so we created the plan for you, and then we had a couple of phone conversations. So you had a good understanding of why we laid out the numbers the way that we did. It wasn't just, okay, Chad, here's the numbers. Go for it, buddy. Talk to you later. I mean, I really, it's a terrible business model, but I almost am working myself out of a job. So people have such a good understanding of why we're putting them, why these numbers are the way that they are, that they don't ever have to come back to me if they want. They have a good grasp of why there's this many carbohydrates, why there's this many grams of protein, why there's this many calories, and what to do if things change. So it's, I know it's a terrible business model, but I, you know, maybe I should care, but I don't. I want people to have a good understanding of why the numbers are what they are.
Well, it goes back to that how willing people are in this community to help each other out, I think. So, and you know, and that's your mindset, and that's the type of person you are. So,
I appreciate
that. So I'll move off that topic a little bit. And I think I mentioned it once and you mentioned it once, and that was macro and micronutrients. And I would like to know the differences and why they're important, why they're not important, why they're bad, why they're good, you know, just kind of hit.
Yeah, that's good. So those are, I mean, both big topics. So macro nutrient, the word macro means large. And of course, you know, most people know micro means small. And so that's exactly what it is. The macronutrients are the three larger nutrients, carbohydrates, proteins, and fats, whereas the micronutrients are the smaller ones that we need in smaller quantities. So things like vitamins, minerals, so on and so forth. Now, when it comes to the macros, you know, I mentioned that they're carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. We kind of look at those as each as playing a specific role in nutrition. Carbohydrates, for the most part, they fuel the brain, they fuel the body, they give us the energy that we need to do everything from hike a mountain to chase an elk to walk from our car into the office. These all hinge. I mean, there is some nuancey stuff, so which I suppose I can get into if you want to, but carbohydrates in general fuel activity. Protein repairs and is for growth. So repairs worn tissue after your long hike. If you get a cut out there, protein's going to repair that cut. It's involved with hair growth. It's involved with nail growth. It's a very important nutrient. Fat is mostly for hormonal function and transport of different vitamins and minerals. So all three are very important. Now, one thing to mention with macros is every calorie that we have outside of alcohol is also included, but for the most part, most calories come from carbohydrates, proteins, or fats. We get double the amount of fat that we do from carbohydrates and proteins per gram. Alcohol also gives some calories, but you know, that's another topic. Micronutrients needed in smaller quantities, which I think what most people feel like is, so they're mostly going to be found in fruits, vegetables, whole grains, things like that. Most people focus a lot on the macronutrients, the larger, because they either improve aesthetics or they improve performance or they either are weight loss or, you know, there's something we can see and they kind of think, well, I don't really need the fruits and veggies. I'm not going to worry about them. the problem with that is there's a lot of micronutrients that are involved in different functions in the body, namely conversion of energy, so you actually get energy. So even though you can lose weight, you could still be deficient in those. So both are very important. I know that that's a whole lot of information in a short period of time, but if you've got some specific questions about each, I'll be happy to delve in deeper.
No, just one quick one, and that is do you have an example of a micronutrient? Like what comes out of a piece of fruit that is considered a micronutrient?
So the B vitamins would be a good example of a micronutrient. You got like B1, which would be thiamine. You got B6, B12, a variety of different ones found in a whole host of different foods. And so people aren't so concerned with getting those, although it's important. So, you know, I talked earlier about hitting the numbers, the calories, the proteins, the carbohydrates, and the fat ranges. In theory, a person could meet those eating terrible, you know, Hot Pockets and Cheez-Its, let's say, and still be successful at losing weight. They're going to be missing a number of micronutrients, which means they're not functioning at optimal levels at all. Not to mention a lot of micronutrients are involved with immunity, prevent you from getting sick, fight off a whole host of different things that we could be exposed to throughout the day, play a role in not alleviating stress in a weird way, but mitigating the response that our bodies give when we are in stressed or when we're in a stressed environment. So they're still very important, and I'd argue not to be overlooked.
Okay. Yep. I do. Another question is, do you like Cheez-Its?
I do. Yeah, like
I thought
Cheez-Its
maybe
fans.
You did. You brought them up a couple of times. So how about supplements?
That's funny.
How about supplements? Do you encourage supplements on your plans?
So supplements, you know, can range from. It depends. Is there certain supplements you're curious about? Because there's sport performance supplements. And then I was reminded not long ago that, you know, people, whenever they think of supplements, they even think in terms of, you know, like taking an omega-3, for instance, as well, for just general heart health. So,
no,
you know,
I was thinking more in terms of you got your pre-workouts and you've got your protein powders and you've got creatines and you've got mostly I'm thinking of them in the terms of like the muscle building and the gym type supplements. But now that you mention it, I also see there is a whole host of other type of supplements that could be very important. So,
yeah. So, you know, for the sports performance category, there has not been, you don't need them to be successful. So I'll start with that. Second to that, I'll say there's not been a ton of literature to say, man, you just need to go out and buy this by the barrels full, and you'll really notice some gains in terms of improvement on time. If you're running an ultra or if you're lifting weights, you'll notice, you know, increased amount of muscle protein synthesis or the amount of muscle that you're able to add. There's been nothing that says you've got to get on this train and you've got to get on it soon. There has been one that has gained a ton of attention and has shown a lot of promise, and strap yourself to the seat, it's caffeine. So a simple cup of coffee, you know, throughout the course of the day has shown some improvements, especially in endurance athletes. Now, that's usually dosed on a person's weight if you are really wanting to get huge benefits out of it. But as far as taking like a nitric oxide pre-workout, a lot of people like that pre-workout. A lot of people, you know, like to drink BCAAs in the middle of their workout. And for the most part, if you've got a decent diet, you're including a reasonable protein intake, you've got, you know, a good carbohydrate intake, you're getting a variety of different foods, you're not just eating, you know, white fish every day, but you're getting some lean protein from beef or elk or antelope or steak even or whatever, you should have all that you need in terms of being able to gain some performance in whatever it is that you're trying to do, because ultimately that's what people are taking these for, right? Is to improve, insert X, Y, and Z, whatever metric it is that they're trying to improve.
Right. Okay. Yep, I think that's a good answer. And the reason why I was curious is I know on the The plan that you had sent me had it included in there. If you basically, if you want to, you could have a protein shake. And I didn't know, I mean, because it's low calorie and it's usually high protein.
I'm glad you brought that up, actually. So that a protein powder, a protein whey protein isolate is helpful to have in your arsenal of things. If you're running late, you don't have time to cook, it opens up a variety of different things that you can cook with to create another source of protein, but you don't need it to be successful. So you don't need to, as soon as you get done with, let's just use weightlifting because a lot of people are into that in January. They're usually trying to add a lot of mass in the winter. You don't need to immediately finish your last repetition of whatever weights you're doing and pound a protein drink. For a long time, we thought that there was this what they call anabolic window when you sneak protein in, right? And it's supposed to be within 60 minutes of your workout. We've done a lot of research since then and said that's insane. We don't need this post. There's not this mystical post-anabolic window where you've got to shove a protein drink in your throat before you even hit the concrete after you get out of the gym. If you're getting adequate protein based on like the numbers we came up with you, certain amount of grams per kilogram of body weight, if you're getting that over the course of a day, basically from the time you wake up until the time you go to bed, this idea of protein timing and all this mysticism is somewhat debunked at this point. So me throwing whey protein in your plan was because you said, I kind of need some speedy options to eat for breakfast because I wake up, I don't usually eat before breakfast, I go to the gym, and then I usually head into the office. So for me, that says this guy's not going to have a lot of time to run home and cook some eggs and a bowl of oatmeal or sit down to a freshly made, pancake, that type of a thing. So that's why we did throw some whey protein in there. But, let's just say that my breakfast for you said you get 30 grams of protein. If you'd rather that 30 grams come from chicken breast or Greek yogurt or eggs or any of those things, you get the same benefit as if you were to buy this whey protein powder. So there is no advantage to having that in there beyond it just gives you some flexibility in planning.
Awesome. Okay, good. Yep, and that's what I like to do, but it's what I am glad that you said is that it's not a necessary thing that you need. And I like to do it because it's quick and easy, and I just like you said, because we had talked, I don't like to eat until it's usually about 9 o'clock before I eat my first meal, and I'm already done the gym or gone for a run. Like my workouts are done by 7 o'clock in the morning. So a protein shake at 7:30 is perfect, and it holds me over until I get that breakfast at 9:30, whatever it is. So anyway, that's good. I'm glad that you worded it that way. A real quick question, and then I would like to move into some backcountry fueling info. But I just, as a nutritionist, I'm curious, how do you feel about wild game meat and its nutritional value versus going and buying a steak at the store?
So, I will preface this by saying I love, personally, dietitian aside, the taste of wild game meat. And then, yeah, so if I put the dietitian hat on and I look at the nutrition profile, I love, what it is. It's mostly lean, most wild game. I mean, there's a couple species that are a little bit fattier, but nothing crazy. I love how lean it is and how much protein it provides ounce per ounce. Now, this may rub some people wrong, but if I were to simply look at the nutrition label of 4 ounces of elk meat and 4 ounces of very lean ground beef, they would look the same. And the body recognizes that as much as it does anything else. So whether it's getting 30 grams of meat from wild game or 30 grams of protein from wild game or 30 grams of protein from a lean cut of hamburger meat, the body says, hey, there's 30 grams of high quality protein. Let's do with it what we need to. So that's good news for people who didn't tag out this year like me. But that's, there's no, I want to put this, it's an excellent quality, but it should not necessarily be looked at as any superior to other options out there for guys who have been unable to fill a tag yet.
Okay, good. That's I'm with you. I think the taste is much better than store bought.
Taste. Yeah, if you want to talk about taste, then we all know what wins there. But
yeah, right.
if we look at simple nutrition profile,
yeah. Okay, so then from there, I kind of wanted to move into, let's talk about not so much the nutrition plan part and the building up to, but let's say we're at September 1st right now, or even September 15th, we're standing at a trailhead and we're about to set off on our hunt. Is there a different type of fueling plan that you need to think of as far as that much physical exertion versus the training plan that gets you there? Is there a difference between the two?
Well, yeah, it's entirely different, substantially different, as a matter of fact. And I'll use myself as an example or someone else, but it is, again, heavily dependent on the person, because your needs are going to be vastly different than mine. Not only are you, maybe our packs are equal weight, but you know, I'm 5'6", you're 6 foot nothing. I weigh, 148 pounds. And, you started at, what'd you start at?
I was 230 when I weighed 237 when I weighed myself the other day.
Right. So your needs are going to be drastically different than mine based on those factors alone. So it does matter in terms of an individual stance. Now, part of that conversation when I make those plans for people is, okay, give me an idea of what you're expecting to do. It's not to put backcountry hunting on a pedestal, but if a guy is car camping and spending a large majority of his day in the truck glassing stuff, and I give him this high carbohydrate, high calorie diet, he's going to come home from September with an additional 10 pounds as opposed to if that same guy was to be, a backcountry hunter, where generally you're spending most of your day on your feet, hiking over a variety of different terrain, uphills, downhills, different temperatures, you're sweating, so on and so forth. Your needs are going to be really high, and you'll probably come away with even following a high carb, high calorie diet, you may come away with weight loss because it didn't meet your needs. So it largely depends on what the person is doing. But by and large, let's just say, because I think you had mentioned the backcountry hunter, the biggest emphasis is on carbohydrate. And that is because as you increase your exercise intensity, your body relies more on carbohydrate and carbohydrate stores than any other nutrient. Earlier, I'd mentioned carbohydrate, fuels you whether you're doing an endurance activity or if you're walking in from the car. And I said, well, kind of. We can get to that later. The lower intensity activities are going to be fueled mostly by fat. So if you're glassing and you're just sitting most of the day, you're not relying heavily on your carbohydrate stores. So you don't necessarily need to place a ton of emphasis on it. I think it's still important to include it because if the glass turns up something and you have to go chase it, you're going to wish you'd have thought about that before you started running after it. But it largely depends on those factors based on the type of a plan that we would come up with for someone going into the backcountry. Now, if you're planning to spend, 5 days as opposed to an afternoon out there, then it gets a little more complex in trying to tease that out because each day builds upon itself. If you're only going out for an afternoon, you're going to have plenty of time to recover at home afterwards. If you're going out for 5, 7, or even 14 days and you're expecting your body to do that same thing every day, then the planning becomes more and more important to make sure that you're properly fueled for the next day to still be able to have some gas in the tank by day 10 or day 14 or day however many you're out there.
Is there foods? I mean, clearly there are better foods. You mentioned carbohydrates, but what type of foods would you put in your pack if you were doing that heavy, you're going through the timber, you're up and down the mountains, you're climbing over deadfall, you're just out there giving everything you got.
On those types of events, focus more on high carbohydrate, and that high carbohydrate is rapid digesting carbs. So it's stuff that you would normally tell yourself never to eat when you're not doing that type of an activity. So rapid digesting carbohydrates that are low in fat and are moderate in fat, moderate to low in fat, and low in fiber. So the presence of both fiber and fat slow how fast the gut uses it. So you hear people sometimes that say, okay, well, I went into the backcountry and I took a ton of different bars. Well, most of those bars have a decent amount of fat and they have a decent amount of fiber and they feel like they're walking around with a brick in their gut and they can't figure out why. Well, that's largely why. So transitioning to stuff that not only is lower in fat, lower in fiber, high in carbohydrate, but that sounds good. So, you know, you're taking a high carb whole grain bar that you just can't stand to look at. Instead of doing that, take the Cheez-Its, take a bag of pretzels. You know, we often put candy in nutrition plans and bagels and Cheez-Its and Goldfish and, you know, dehydrated bananas with sugary cereal and all sorts of stuff that, you know, you probably haven't eaten since you were a kid or you definitely wouldn't want to eat if you're trying to lose weight. So that's that rapid digesting carbohydrate. Now, protein obviously plays a role, and we center that around the three main meals because you're still going to have some muscle to repair after wearing them out. So that still is an important nutrient to look at. Fat is also important, but is not as high as it might be if you weren't doing those type of activities. Does that make sense?
It does. It totally does. And you mentioned the candy, and I'm going to tell you, so I made individual food bags last year when I think most people probably do by now, when I went out, and in every individual food bag, I put like three or four Starbursts in there. And man, that was like the best little treat that I could have. A couple of those things at lunch and then a couple at dinner. And it was awesome to have that little sugary snack that, I don't know, it was good to me.
Yeah, most people are terribly afraid of carbohydrates, and even whenever you start to make a plan and you dose the amount of carbohydrates based on a person's weight, based on their activity and the amount of activity that they're going to be doing, and they see the final number and it's just like they're almost afraid to eat it, but when they commit to eating it, they notice a significant difference and a significant improvement and the amount of activity that they can take on day after day after day in the backcountry. So, I mean, I think it is very important, and that's largely because you're relying on your glycogen stores, which is just stored carbohydrate. You're relying on those day after day, so it's important to refill those every day to make sure that they're prepared for the next day.
As far as you mentioned the three major meals, you mentioned that earlier. Do you dehydrate your own foods, or do you pack a Mountain House or a Peak to Fuel, whatever, one of those pre-made, freeze-dried meals? Do you do that or dehydrate your own?
Well, when I was doing the backpacking thing, I mostly just stuck to Mountain Houses, which I got to tell you, I'm a sucker for the lasagna. I've got no opposition to it. I know a lot of guys will talk about, oh, the sodium gut bomb, and I know that does that for some people, but man, the lasagna's got my heart. But recently, and mostly because of finances, honestly, I started dehydrating my own. You know, being out however many days I go out a year, which isn't a ton, but it's a fair enough amount to where you start to think, you know, $8 to $9 a pop is pretty expensive, and that's just for dinner. So I started dehydrating my own meals this past year, year and a half, and have really, really enjoyed the versatility that it offers and the ability to not just be stuck to, you know, 8 or 9 meals. And then, of course, the nuancey half of my dietitian brain, I'm able to finagle my numbers and get them closer to my own as opposed to just kind of having to go by whatever Mountain House tells me I need to go by. So the versatility with that's really nice too. And I've enjoyed doing that.
That's something this year I'm going to get into. I did a few last year that I took out with me. I made I had smoked a pork shoulder or something and shredded it up. And then I put that in with some Hatch green chilies and macaroni and cheese and dehydrated all that stuff. And that was, that was compared to a Mountain House, that meal was fantastic on the mountain when I cooked it.
And you can probably speak to this, but when I first started, I was incredibly intimidated, and how do you know if it's done, and does this work, and I found it to be pretty straightforward. Do you agree? I mean, I think that there's a lot of intimidation there that maybe prevents some guys from just trying it out, but it's a relatively low entry point. I think I paid like $30 for my dehydrator, maybe. And it's done more than I could want it to do so far.
Oh, yeah. I bought my dehydrator originally just for making jerky. And then last year I tried it to make meals. And it worked fine for what it is. I would rather have one where I can control the temperature and do some things with it. But what I've got is working for me. And we'll see. I'm going to do more this year and try to come up with some better meals and things, because that's going to be a goal of mine this year. Is every meal I want it to be homemade instead of something store-bought.
Yeah, it is really nice. I don't want to be redundant, but it is really nice to pretty much have the option to take anything I want. It's and I'm not opposed to taking a Mountain House by any means, but it's really nice to say, I think I'll take, you went gourmet with it, man, good for you, but you'd be able to say, I'm going to take a Hatch green chili pork shoulder in the back. That's nice. That's the nice part about it.
Yeah, it was very good, to be honest with you. I was really happy that I made it and took it. But anyway, that was just something that I really wanted to touch on, because I hear that a lot too, where people are always saying that the pre-made freeze-dried meals are so high in sodium, and I didn't know if I was dealing with high sodium or dehydration, but there was a couple of days where I know, like, my hands were really swollen, my feet were swollen, and I didn't know, was it from the sodium, was it from dehydration, or both, or whatever. But I think if you can eliminate one of the two, why not? Because you can control the amount of sodium that you put in a homemade dehydrated meal.
Yeah.
But with that, we're getting close to an hour, so I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk a little bit just quickly on what services that you provide. So if somebody that listens to the podcast wants to reach out, and I encourage you guys to do this, if you want to reach out to Kyle and talk to him and set up some sort of plan, how do they do it, and what do you offer to them?
Yeah, so how do you do it? I have an email, which is just info@v2pnutrition.com. So that's Valley to Peak abbreviated with V, the number 2, P, nutrition.com. I'm available there. I've got my Instagram at the same thing, V2pNutrition, and Facebook too. So you can reach out to me through any of those methods, or you can get a hold of Chad, and Chad can send you my way, or whatever works the best for you. Now, in terms of what's offered, it seems like a general statement, but I am happy to accommodate anyone for whatever they need, so I do have certain plans and packages built around whatever your goals are, maybe ranging from, like, this early season, you want to lose weight, you want to get into better shape, prepare for September, or whatever it is, or you may want to add on muscle mass. So plans how to do that includes follow-up, me alongside you the whole time to sort of navigate you through any barriers that come up. And or as it gets closer to season, you say, I just don't have time to figure out what I need for 5 days back here. Can you help me develop a plan for what to actually take on the hunt itself? So I've done a number of those and enjoy those too. So that's another offering. Just started up a subscription service, which is basically, saying, hey, I've got a pretty good understanding of nutrition, so I built my own plan, and it'd be nice to have the accountability though. So, we have an accountability program where we touch base 7 to 10 days, come up with any, what were the successes, what were the issues, what questions do you have? I do an analysis of the plan that you come up with and make recommendations where I, may see a conflict or say, hey, good on you, you've done great, this should work well, but feel free to reach out if you've got any questions in the meantime. So it's built around what anyone wants. It's a very individualized thing. There's no cookie cutter type of a deal. It's all built around each person, their personal nutrition needs based on whatever their goals are.
One thing that I want to include, and that is follow Kyle on Instagram, and that's V2P Nutrition. And every Friday, Kyle does a Friday frequently asked question. Do you do that every Friday, Kyle?
I do, man. I think the only Friday that I've missed was, I don't know, a holiday of some sort. But I really, really enjoy that. I mean, I really enjoy that. I enjoy conversing with people through email. So, yeah, I'd love to meet anyone that's got questions, or you can shoot a question through that. There's also a, I think they, I'm not the most social media savvy person, but I think they call them sticky. So however many, you know, every time someone asks a question, I post it to a Q&A sticky on the little page. So you can go there and see the whole history of all the questions people have asked. And if yours isn't on there, or even if it is, then you can join on Friday, or you don't even have to wait. You can email me and I'll answer you privately.
Yeah. And that's really cool. I've been noticing it lately, and I don't know. There's some really good questions in there. And then of course there's always really good answers too, whenever you answered things. So I wanted to make sure we included that so that you had, you know, people would see it and know to go check it out. With that, do you got any parting thoughts, anything you wanted to share before we get off of here?
Oh man, I think I mentioned this earlier. I just really want people to know that, you know, if you've had any issues following a plan in the past, it does not mean that you have got some sort of, you know, genetic problem with following a diet and you're prone to never lose weight at all. I would encourage you just to make simple changes, make sustainable changes, and reach out to me with questions. I'm not going to try and pitch you on a package unless you want one. So if you've got questions, you just want a little bit of help, I'm happy to help. So just you can get a hold of me or get a hold of me through chat or whatever.
Cool. Well, thank you very much. I'll put all of your contact information in the description at the bottom. So that'll all be easily accessible. And with that, Kyle, I'd just like to say thanks for coming on. And I really appreciate it. And I appreciate everything you've done for me so far.
My pleasure, man. And if you need anything, I appreciate you having me on. If you need anything else, you know where to find me.
Yep. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you later.
Alrighty.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for Kyle to coming on the show and talking about nutrition. It's one thing that I think is super duper important, and it's helped me a lot already. So as Kyle and I recorded this show, I had already dropped about 3 pounds and an inch off of my waistline. That was a couple of weeks ago. Now I'm getting this thing put out and I'm already down 12 pounds and I've lost almost 2 inches off my waistline. So everything is going really good. When I put these two plans together, the fitness plan from iHuntFit and then the nutrition plan from Valley to Peak Nutrition, I'm seeing some fantastic results and I'm really, really happy about it. I think it's going to make for one heck of a great hunting season this coming year, and just healthier me too. I think I'm just going to be in better shape and better health. So thanks to Matt and Kyle for helping out with the new year, new rookie plan. Okay, as promised in the beginning, so I want to talk a bit about 2019 giveaways. Like I said, there is already in the works, I'm building the Hunting Story giveaway again, putting together some really, really good prize packages for that. And I'm doing monthly giveaways, and those monthly giveaways are just loaded up. Every month has something great. I've got stuff coming from, of course, University of Elk Hunting, Corey Jacobson, the title, and Elk 101, the title sponsor of the show, has donated 2 University of Elk Hunting subscriptions, as well as a Rocky Mountain Hunting Calls call package. So you'll get the University of Elk Hunting, and then you'll get a really good call package that comes with a bugle tube and some reeds and a open reed. External call, and real good package there from Elk 101. So thanks to Corey for that. And I've got stuff coming in from MSR. I've got a Pocket Rocket 2 and a water filtration system. Those, I'm going to separate those. I'm going to be giving the Pocket Rocket 2 away with some Next Mile Meals. We got Next Mile Meals will be coming up pretty soon. We'll be doing a podcast with them talking about keto diet and through hiking you know, just talking a lot about some of the backpack style hiking and how that integrates with hunting and how a lot of the same gear can go back and forth. And then we're also going to be talking food. So backpacking food, when you're on a through hike and you're hitting 30, 40 miles a day, how are you feeding the body and how you're feeding yourself? And Next Mile Meals has all that stuff nailed down. So they're coming on to talk that, and they're doing a giveaway. We also got some really nice Trail Ergo Cork trekking poles from Black Diamond and a Spot headlamp. Geez, there's so many. Every month has something great. Go Hunt donated another $100 gift card to us. Just a lot of good stuff coming up. So pay attention to all of my Backcountry Rookie social media. That's where all this stuff is going to be given away. Some of it will be given away on the Instagram page, which is at Backcountry Rookies. Some of it will be given away on the website, which is backcountryrookies.com. And then some of this stuff and some other little side, smaller side items, I'm going to be giving away on Backcountry Rookies Nation, which is my group Facebook page. And that's, you know, it's just a group page. So anybody can come in there. You have to request access and then be given the access. But anybody that requests access can come in and just kind of talk back and forth with other hunters, ask questions, you'll get answers. That's the way the whole thing is set up right now, is we got a lot of people coming in, asking a lot of great questions, and then we also have a lot of really experienced hunters that are answering those questions. And not even really experienced, maybe people like myself who have been out, you know, I hunted quite a bit this past year, and I was able to test a lot of gear, so I can answer a lot of questions on, you know, certain products that I spent a couple of months in, or certain things that I didn't like, they didn't work for me, and I spent 2 days in them and got rid of them. So that's the kind of conversation you're seeing on Backcountry Rookies Nation Facebook group. And finally, I wanted to say thank you to Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network for hosting the podcast. I probably wouldn't be here without Dan and the Sportsman's Nation, so thanks, Dan. And with that, so next week, the next show will be Christian Armstrong, who is part of the Kong Valley Collective, and those guys over at Kong Valley are doing a lot of cool stuff. They got a really great mission statement, and I'm going to have Christian on to come on and talk all about that. So until next week, I appreciate you tuning in and keep listening, and make sure you're checking out all the social media and Valley to Peak Nutrition and iHuntFit. Thanks for listening. See you next week.